James chapter 4. James chapter number 4. You love me. Thank God he does. In this great chapter here, we've been working our way through this book verse by verse, theming it, grow up. Spiritual maturity. God wants us to be growing up. Amen. And when we're not, problems arise. We don't know how to deal with trials. You know, when you, if you're not growing up in the Lord, you're going to struggle with your battles. Amen. You're not growing up in the Lord. You're not going to know how to use your Bible. You grow up in the Lord. You're not going to know what you believe. You don't grow up in the Lord. You're not going to know how to behave. So here in James chapter 4, we're dealing with not the belief anymore, but the behavior of the spiritual mature individual. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? Even of your lust at war in your members. You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have. Cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord, and may the Bible be received. May it be received on good ground, that it may produce fruit, fruit that will remain, and fruit that brings you glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I neglected to introduce Darnell Lewis. Darnell has been to church several times, and he's in town and stopped in the church. Wave your hand. Say hello. Give him a warm welcome to Crossroads. Got in this afternoon and Ubered over here, and we're so glad he's here with us tonight. I don't know about you. I know a lot of Christians that are spiritually immature. And sometimes we're trying to deal with problems, and sometimes the problems are not the issue. The people are the issue. And so James is dealing with growing up in the Lord. And in this section, we're dealing with the behavior in the Christian life. In chapter 3, we dealt with the tongue and how the tongue behaves. And we dealt with wisdom and how when wisdom is in our lives, the wisdom of the world is different than the wisdom of God. In this section, we're dealing with this issue of our behavior. And we dealt with the first section here of chapter number, of verse number 1 here and the several verses here, really dealing with this divisive war zone that happens. You see, when you're not spiritually mature, all of a sudden you deal with fightings and envyings and lusting. You deal with wars among yourself. You deal with strifes among each other. You deal with lusts that are out of control. You deal with strategies that fight against each other. And God says when that happens in your life, you got personal conflicts and petty contentions, and your primary cause is because of your fleshly lust and your faulty logic. If listen to me, you cannot play to God right if you want the wrong kind of pleasures from somebody else. And he says you have not because you ask not. In other words, there's some things you don't get because you don't pray. And there's nobody in the building that prays enough. No. You need more than about 7 of you on that one. There's nobody in the building tonight that prays enough. So some things we don't have simply because we don't pray. But James says spiritual immaturity will not only cause you not to pray, but when you do pray, you'll pray for the wrong reason. You want stuff, but you don't want it to bring God glory. You want it to consume on your own lust. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where war comes from. And I spoke last week or week before last that sometimes the way people treat us in a negative way has nothing to do with what we've done to them. Sometimes you look and say, I don't know why that person doesn't like me. I don't know why that person treats me bad. I don't know why that person does me that way. And you think to yourself, what have I done wrong? Sometimes you've done nothing wrong. The fact of the matter is, you just happen to be in the way of what they want. And if you're doing right and they're chasing pleasure and you happen to be in the way of their pleasure by doing your right, you just got run over because you were a deer in the middle of the road. And I'll tell you, that's the danger of having the wrong kind of lust. We'll hurt anybody to get what we want. So we look at this divisive war zone. Secondly, tonight I want to deal with what I call disturbing worldliness. Now listen to me and listen to me well. Worldliness in the life of a child of God is disturbing. Let me say that again. Worldliness in the life of a child of God is disturbing. In other words, God, and by the way, God's not talking about the globe. And God's not talking about geography. And God's not talking about the location where you live. And God's not talking about continents and cities and zip codes and counties. When he says the world, he's not talking about the globe. When he says the world, he's talking about the worldly system, the way the world thinks, the way society goes. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you of something. This world is not our home. So I want to give you several thoughts tonight before we go home from chapter 4, verse 4. Number one, James makes a very repulsive identification. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. That's nothing proud to be called. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now, therefore, perhaps those in the body of Christ that heard James say this and thought, perhaps he was talking about physical adultery. And by the way, physical adultery is bad news. Amen. Oh, if you're married, you ought to be faithful to your spouse. Somebody say amen. But let me tell you something worse than physical adultery is spiritual adultery. And we must understand when we got saved, we did not enter a bad marriage. Somebody say amen. When we got saved, we did not get a bad deal. Somebody say amen. When we got saved, we got engaged. We got espoused to the Lord Jesus Christ. I said yesterday in the wedding, there's coming a day where all the saints of God will gather in glory. And there's going to be a great, grand, glorious wedding when the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be united with the bride, his church, and forever will be with the Lord. Let me tell you something. We just heard her sing a few moments ago. We're not saved because we're good. We're not saved because we're righteous. We're not saved because we were desirable. We're saved because a loving God loves us. And he says, you're going to be married to me. Now we're engaged now because the wedding's happening in heaven. But we should not be looking for another spouse. Somebody say amen. You ain't going to find nobody better than God. So there's a very repulsive. When you start fooling with worldliness, you enter into a repulsive identification because, see, God says worldliness is akin to adultery. Now, notice the rhetorical interrogation that James has here in verse 4. He says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And it is a rhetorical question. He's not looking for an answer. He's saying, I mean, if you're saved, you should know that. No, hear me now. If you're saved, you should know that God and the world don't jive. Now, let me remind you that when you become a child of God, you start facing three different enemies. Amen? You face the enemy of the world. You face the enemy of the devil. And you face the enemy of the flesh. But when you get saved, although you got three different enemies, aren't you glad you got a great ally? Amen, amen. Somebody say amen again. I'm facing the world and I'm facing the devil and I'm facing the flesh, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Aren't you glad that the God that you serve is greater than all of your enemies? Amen. And by the way, if you study scripture, and I'm not going through all those details of scripture, but if you'll study scripture and really look at your enemies, if you really think about the God that you serve, that exists as a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God, you read 1 John chapter 2, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Aren't you glad that the God we serve is the one that can face the enemy of the world? God the Father will deal with the world. God the Son will deal with the devil. And God the Spirit will deal with the flesh. We've got enemies, but we've got an ally. No. James says, didn't you know? If God is at odds with the world, that if you are friends with the world, then you're at odds with God. So the repulsive identification is that he uses words like adulterer and adulteress. The rhetorical interrogation is, doesn't the spirit inside of you tell you you don't belong messing with them? The ridiculous infatuation is that somebody who's actually tasted the grace of God would even want what the world has to offer. See, being infatuated with the world is not only an error, it's an error that's ridiculous. Well, you say, well, I'm around people all the time that they think that me serving God is ridiculous. That's because they don't have the Holy Spirit of God inside of them. Come on now. And by the way, before you go condemning them, that's the same way you used to think before you got saved. Aren't you glad you don't think how you used to think? And by the way, every once in a while you run into somebody who remembers you how you used to be. And they start talking to you how they used to talk to you. And before they can get a whole sentence out, you got to stop in your tracks and say, the guy you used to know, I'm not anymore. The girl you used to run with, I'm not anymore. The person I used to be, I'm not anymore. And they want to know what happened. What did you do? Did you turn over a new leaf? Did you find religion? Did you marry somebody? No. I got saved. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm trying to figure out how the body of Christ, who's been washed in the blood, who's been indwelt with the Spirit, who's guided by the Word of God, who's been sealed until the day of redemption, who's been guaranteed an all expense paid ticket into heaven one day, would be infatuated with the world. And yet, I meet people all the time. Not only are they chasing the world, all they've known is the things of God. And they want the world. Now, it's one thing to be somebody who's never tasted something and not desire it. But if you're saved, what in the world out there can you find that's better than what God gave you? Somebody ought to thank God you're saved tonight. Amen. And by the way, you can't lose it. You couldn't buy it. Amen. You can't taste it. It won't expire. It won't spoil. It doesn't need to be renewed. Somebody say amen. There are a lot of things we got. Have you ever gotten somewhere and tried to do something and find out that what you were trying to use, you didn't renew? Are you listening to me now? Aren't you glad you've never faced the devil and he said, I got you today. You're not saved anymore. There's some things I wake up having lost, but I'm glad I've never awakened having lost my salvation. God said, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. They are kept by power unto the day of redemption. Thank God for grace. He saved me by grace. He keeps me by grace. He sustains me by grace. Thank God for his grace. Now what are you looking for? Infatuation. the reproachful implication. Enmity with God. Wow. The word enmity there means hatred. Now, here's what God's saying your life implies when you embrace worldliness. It implies that by chasing it, you don't like what you have. By the way, married folk, you heard me say, I guess Wednesday night or Sunday night or sometime within the last 5 years. You know, you should go on looking for a Volkswagen when you got a Cadillac in the garage. Amen. And I'm telling you what, some people say, I'm not going to buy anything. I'm just going to go sightseeing. Listen to me. There ain't even use any sightseeing when you got Jesus. Come on now. I'm telling you, you can search the world all over. You can't find nobody greater. Nobody greater than him. Amen. And yet, listen to me. It is a symptom of spiritual immaturity. You say, well, you mean anybody that's worldly is lost? No. I just mean anybody in this world is acting lost. And I'm not one of these preachers that preaches you lose your salvation. I'm not one of these preachers that preaches you can't backslide. I'm just simply saying neither one of them are good for you. And we've all had our own children, our physical children, act in a way as if they've never had any training. And you don't know whether you're more bewildered over the action or over the fact that they actually did it. And you find yourself asking your children rhetorically what James was asking you and asking us. Have you lost your mind? Boy, you act like you've never been trained. Huh? I don't know what you saw somebody else do, but that don't happen up in here. Come on now. Now don't break bad when I'm talking about your parenting over your children and then get quiet when I'm talking about your childrening to your God. Because God's saying, when I see you out there in that mess that I saved you from, he's saying, have you lost your mind? Now, I could spend all night on James and talk about, I could just give you just about 963 things that I would call worldly. But I'd rather not name them all. I'd just rather summarize them all as no good. Amen. And summarize the one that saved you as all good. See, a worldly stumble is not because something flashed before you that you couldn't resist. A worldly stumble is an indication that the God that saved you, you're not satisfied with. And I'm telling you, my friend, you don't need another job to stay in the will of God. You don't need a better church to stay in the will of God. You don't need more provision to stay in the will of God. You need to realize what God gave you when he saved you. Christ is all and in all. So it concludes with raw information, and then I'm finished. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, we hear this, and listen, I don't know, I've never met a Christian that admitted he was the enemy of God. But I've never believed you had to admit something for it to be true. All the ways of a man are clean in his. That's why James is saying this. This verse should not be far out, but it's kind of insulting for somebody to call me the enemy of God. But James is saying, let's just be logical. If I have an enemy and you befriend that enemy, then akin to that enemy, you are also my enemy. Is anybody following me? If the world and I are enemies, God says, and you befriend the world, then just like the world is my enemy, you are my enemy. So not only is it bad that you are my enemy, but it's bad that you would even want to hang with anybody that's my enemy. And I'm not talking about never spending time with the world. I'm talking about not letting the world determine how you act. We better be careful as we see the day approaching. There are a lot of Christian people that have begun to let the world think for them. Come on. You better not get your styles from the world. I said you better not get your styles from the world. You better not get your thinking from the world. The church doesn't need to get its music from the world. Amen. You don't need to get your standards from the world. You don't need to get your jargon and your words from the world. Amen. You singles don't need to get your spouse from the world. Amen. You don't need to get your satisfaction from the world. They can't give it to you. Amen. They're looking for what we have. And James is not preaching to the world in James 4. There's plenty of the Bible that talks to the world. James is preaching to us. Don't pursue it. Because you can't be pursuing me and pursuing worldliness. Now there's a struggle and there's a battle. And it's happening all over America and all over the world. And we're doing all we can to try to keep people from succumbing to it. But I'm telling you, my friend, the best way to stay away from worldliness is to stay close to God. I'll be honest with you. I find very few Christians chasing the world who are constantly bragging on Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Boy, be careful if you feel like God's not treating you right. Be careful. That'll be a good time to start being worldly. Amen. You know, people love to call when they know you and your spouse are having problems. And when you demonstrate tension between you and God, that's a great sign for the devil, the flesh, and the world to say, now's a good time to get him. Amen. Stay tight with the Lord. And stay tight in this book. Amen. And stay yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. And stay thankful for your salvation. And stay praying to your Father in Jesus' name with the prompting of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then when the devil comes dangling around, that worldliness. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's on the TV. It's on the billboards. Amen. And if you're not careful, it'd be right on your pew or on this stage. Amen. So we don't need metal detectors. We need worldly detectors. Amen. Just, you say, what do they look like? Just open your Bible and talk to God before you come in here. And if you hear beep, 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 then leave something home. Determined by the grace of God. If it's against God, I certainly don't want to bring it to church. I want to grow. And I want to mature. For His glory and my good. Our Father, thank you. I pray that every child of God in the building would stand motivated and challenged of our worldliness. Speak to hearts and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.